The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
There are so many Michael Jackson fans out there of all ages, and I'm sure many of them would be interested in a two-hour celebration of the music and life of Michael Jackson at the Gaiety Theatre from the 12th to the 18th of March. It's called Thriller Live, and we're joined by its producer, Adrian Grant. Hello to you, Adrian.
Hi, good to meet you.
Now, how long has this musical been running?
Well, I think I started it 12 years ago in 2006, but that was the first show. We started touring in 2007, and we opened in the West End in 2009, so we're now celebrating our 10th year.
And how many years is it Michael Jackson is dead now?
Unfortunately, he passed in June 2009.
Okay. Was he aware of the show? Had he authorised it?
He was, yeah. I mean, I'd started the show as a tribute day once a year. We used to hold Michael Jackson days in London when I was running his fan club. And the first one was in 1991, and it grew bigger and bigger. And then Michael Jackson came to the 10th one in 2001, and he loved it. He just loved seeing the performers on stage, and he said this is incredible. And it's from that moment that I thought, you know, this could be a show not just for Michael's fans, but something for the general public at large, like a Mamma Mia or We Will Rock You. And that's when I decided to create Thriller Live.
Okay, so is it the life story of Michael Jackson, or what's it all about?
It's a musical celebration. It's a concert. I mean, Michael's music speaks for itself. So there isn't a story. It's not his life story. It's like going to a Michael Jackson concert. So we do about 33, 34 different songs. We have 10 dancers. We have a live band with 6 musicians. And we have 4 singers, 4 great singers on stage. And yeah, we tell Michael's story, his musical journey through his music. So we start from I Want You Back, and we go right through to the hits of, you know, Billie Jean and Thriller and so forth.
So do you have different singers for different stages of his life?
Not so much different stages of his life, but they each bring a different part of his personality, a different part of his persona to the stage. So we have a rock Michael Jackson singing songs such as Beat It and Dirty Diana. We have a female Michael Jackson singing The Way You Make Me Feel and Blame It on the Boogie. We have a soul.
A female Michael Jackson? Why so?
Because, you know what, to find one singer who can sing all of Michael's songs, to have his range, to have the charisma that he brought to stage, to do the dancing as well, it's just not possible. And I think it's more of an exciting experience to have different characters on the stage portraying him. You know, they each bring something different to the stage. Britt, Rory, Adrienne, the dancers, they all bring a bit of Michael Jackson to the stage. And our Michael Jackson dancer, Eddie from Brazil, they each bring what he had to stage. And to find that in one person, I didn't want it to be like a tribute or an impersonation. I wanted it to be like a theatrical experience for the audience.
High standards to me, particularly when it comes to the dancing, doing the moonwalk and various other dances, which he excelled at.
Yeah, I mean, our director, Gary Lloyd, he's meticulous with his rehearsals, and it's a real energetic show. So by the end of it, the dancers specifically are very fit by the end of each performance. You know, all the choreography, all the routines, such as the ones in Smooth Criminal, Beat It, Smooth Thriller, Working Day and Night, you know, Gary's done a fantastic job interpreting Michael's music onto stage.
Is there a generation of Michael Jackson fans who don't actually think of him as a stage performer, but they remember the incredible videos from the 1980s and almost expect those to be recreated because they were groundbreaking at the time, also very expensive and very cinematic?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jackson was an iconic performer, and he really brought videos to life. He was the first person to really truly use that medium in such a way, and he called them mini films. And we do that on stage. We know we bring Thriller to life on stage. We have the zombies. We bring Smooth Criminal to life on stage. We have the costume. We have the white fedora. We have the 45-degree impossible lean that they do. We have the Beat It choreography. We have all the kind of like famous signature moves that Michael Jackson was famous for. We have that on stage, and it's all backed with you know, a live, fantastic band. And, you know, it's a privilege to work with the music. And I mean, I must have seen the show like 100, 200 times now, and I never get bored of watching it because it's such a visual treat and such, you know, the songs still sound as fresh today as they did when Michael recorded them back in the 80s.
You're clearly a Michael Jackson fanatic. How did that come about?
Well, I didn't start off as a Michael Jackson fan. I was actually a fan of Prince. And, you know, I was looking for a job in the industry. I was looking to work for a record company or a magazine. Fortunately, after many rejection letters, I was inspired by a Prince fanzine to actually start my own Michael Jackson fanzine. There wasn't one at the time, and I asked Sony Records if I could start a Michael Jackson fan magazine. They said yes, I started producing Off the Wall magazine, and it grew and grew. I used to send it to Michael's management. They said Michael loved your magazine. And then in 1990, they invited me over to Los Angeles to meet Michael. He was recording the Dangerous album at the time. And I went to the recording studio, and Michael walked in, and he was singing a cappella. He sounded great. He looked fantastic. He was wearing his black fedora. And he thanked me for the magazine and I thanked him for all the work he was doing. And from that day on, we became good friends.
But of course, did the magazine go into the various issues which I suppose dominated the tabloid press in particular and American magazines? And he had, to put it mildly, sort of a dramatic life and a lot of controversy in his life as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy surrounding Michael Jackson. There was a lot of hype surrounding Michael Jackson. And I felt, you know, that detracted a lot from his work. You know, I felt he was sometimes underappreciated, underrated as an artist because of the scandal that sometimes followed him or the hype that, you know, was around him. And it was very important for me to actually tell the side of Michael Jackson that I saw. And it was, after all, it was a fan magazine. It wasn't there to kind of like dig into his personal life. We were there to talk about his music, to talk about his videos, and to tell the, you know, his fans about the work he was doing. But Michael was very aware that this was a medium and it was a vehicle for his fans. So that's why he was so giving of his time. And I saw a side of Michael Jackson that, you know, not many people did. I remember one day being in Budapest and we went to a hospital where he was handing out presents to sick children. He was with his wife at the time, Lisa Marie Presley. And, you know, we were handing out these toys to these sick kids. And there was one kid in particular who hadn't spoken in weeks. You know, she was just ill in bed, and Michael walked into the room and you just saw this big smile come on this kid's face, and it was like, you know, it was like a miracle almost, and her mother couldn't believe it, and she just reached out and touched Michael's hand. And I think that was just part of the happiness that Michael Jackson brought, and part of his inspiration. And to see that firsthand, I couldn't believe it at the time, but to see that firsthand kind of like just showed me some of the good work that Michael Jackson did.
Yet a lot of people would have been, I suppose, suspicious about his relationship with children.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, the one thing that Michael loved, which was the innocence of children, was used against him. And, you know, the Michael I knew, he was a big kid at heart. He was always laughing, he was always joking, he liked messing around. And, you know, I think that was his form of escapism. You know, since the age of 11, he'd, you know, had hit songs since the age of 11. He'd always been constantly working. So to escape from all of that, to be surrounded by kids and to be surrounded by people who weren't judging him for being this huge megastar, but just taking him for who he was his time to just get away from it. But unfortunately, the reverse of that was that some people took advantage of his innocence and maybe naivety in some cases, and they used his love of children, his innocence, love of children, against him. And that was horrible to see, that he was persecuted in that way.
Yeah, you say innocent love of children, but I suppose there have been lots of speculation that it went further than that, and that indeed it was something that we should in no way actually endorse.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely not true. I mean, you know, like I said, I was very lucky to know Michael Jackson for 21 years and work with him. I used to go to Neverland every year. It was a magical place. It wasn't there just for his own amusement. He used to open the doors every week to underprivileged kids, to various charities. He was a very giving person. He was a very loving person.
It sounds like a Willy Wonka type almost.
It was, the first time I went there, you know, there were the chimpanzees rolling around the grass. There was the giraffes. There was the llamas. There was the fun fair. There was the zoo. All of that was there. And I said to the security guard, you know, this isn't reality. But the guard said, well, it's reality for Michael Jackson. This is what he grew up with. And like I said, it wasn't just there for his own amusement. He used to share it with underprivileged kids, with sick kids. And, you know, he could have what he wanted, but he didn't use it in a bad way. He wasn't a bad person. And the Michael Jackson that I knew was a very caring and loving person.
So you're confident he wasn't a paedophile, that he never abused children?
Absolutely not. I mean it's quite clear. The second set of allegations against Michael Jackson were a complete scandal and complete extortion attempt. And the first set of allegations, again, Michael Jackson, they just used his innocence. He befriended somebody. He was very giving to that family, and they used that against them. So I think that's very sad. And it destroyed Michael Jackson in the end. I think, you know, the allegations against him did destroy him. They were soul destroying for him.
The other thing, I suppose, that people were also used to comment upon or were fascinated by was his changing skin colour. What did you make of that?
You know, the Michael I knew, and it's funny because Beyonce Knowles' dad, Matthew Knowles, touched upon this last week. He was talking about colourism. He said that if Beyonce had been of darker skin, that she wouldn't be as successful, and she wouldn't be selling as many records. Now, I'm not saying that Michael Jackson used that for those reasons. And it was later found out that he had vitiligo. I didn't know that at the time, that he had vitiligo.
What is that?
That's where you have a skin condition and you'll have different areas, different lighter patches on your skin. And so Michael Jackson used to wear makeup to cover that up. And I think one thing I would say is that what Michael did, which was excellent, was that he reinvented himself several times. You know, he was a star in the 70s with, you know, his brothers. And then he reinvented himself in the early 80s. And he changed his image, you know, the way he looked in terms of his hairstyle, the clothes he wore. He became relevant at that time. So he went from being a 70s artist to a popular art, you know, a megastar in the 80s. And the fact that he kept changing himself and reinventing himself was what kept him popular. And that was to his credit. I mean, I don't think he would have had the same appeal had he not done that.
Did you ever meet Lisa Marie Presley when he was married to her?
Yeah, I met Lisa a couple of times, well, two or three times. Once in New York when Michael was recording the History album, and Lisa was there with her kids, and they were getting on great. And she was very protective of Michael. I remember the first time I met her, she was like questioning Michael, you know, who is this person? Who am I? And Michael just reassured her that I was, you know, I was a fan. I was a writer of the Fan Club magazine, and that was okay. And, you know, she was very protective of Michael, and he played her a song that he had just written on the album Stranger in Moscow. And she sat there attentively listening to it, and I listened to it as well. And then the second time I met her was in Budapest. As I said, we went to the hospital. We were handing out presents to the kids.
What's your favorite Michael Jackson track which people would enjoy from Thriller the musical?
There's so many. I mean, my favorite album of Michael Jackson was Off the Wall. I love that there's a period where we'd kind of like recreate Studio 54 in New York, where Michael used to go. And that's like a whole disco section featuring Off the Wall and songs like Don't Stop to Get Enough and Rock With You. So I love that section.
That's great music. Thriller, the musical, is on the Gaiety from March the 12th to the 18th. Adrian Grant as producer. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word this evening.
Thank you for your time.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.